Well, Jesus is asking some pretty tough stuff in our gospel lesson. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. If anybody smacks you in the face, just let them smack the other side of your face. This isn't easy. And that's where the sermon title comes from. It's a bit of a... Not everybody says this kind of thing, but you're allowed to ask, really? Really? Because the things we're being asked here are not easy at all. They're not the kinds of things that we expect to do or that anyone expects us to do, really. And, as I was reading in one of the commentaries I took a look at, to love an enemy is simply impossible. Because an enemy is, by definition, someone you hate rather than you love. So if you start loving them, then they're not an enemy anymore. So what's going on here? Well, there's a lot of things going on in this passage, as there is in just about every passage, well, not just in the Bible, but in any complex or complicated work. One of the things that I noticed and was confirmed for me when I was doing some reading is that love in this passage is less of a noun or a characteristic or an emotional state. Love is an action. And that's a good thing, because while it may be impossible to feel love for an enemy, it's not impossible to act in certain ways that are not hateful and that might even be loving. We've all heard, well, if you listen to me, I think I've referenced it at least once, where one of the ways to help couples come to grips with what they actually feel is to, the counselor will send them home and say, act like you love each other for a week and see what that does. See if that rekindles something, because our actions can actually change how we do things. But when you look here, what you see is Jesus saying, these are the kinds of actions you should do. And when we look at verse 31, we have do to others as you would have them do to you, frequently called the golden rule. This isn't something that's unique to Jesus, unique to Christianity. It's all over the ancient world. And just about every religion of significance has some version of this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do not do to any that which you would find hateful to be done to you. It shows up in Buddhism, it shows up in Hinduism, it shows up in Islam, it shows up in Judaism, Christianity, it shows up everywhere. And it shows up in ethics, for the most part, that one of the ways to behave well is to think, what would I like, not because I'm identical to you, but what would I like if I was in your shoes? What would I like you to do? Well, what would I do? It's helpful to think those things. But we can get a little bit cross-connected if we leap to the bottom, to the last verse, and we look at all that happens before it in light solely of a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. What this is, as much as anything, is it's a reminder of God's primacy of interest in extravagant grace, not about simplistic justice. God has moved his people, has moved us past this whole idea of an eye for an eye, that justice is a simple one-to-one transaction. And God's saying, no, it's more than that. There's something more going on. It's called grace. And when we focus solely on that last passage, let's not lose sight of the fact that that's what God is talking about. He's saying this is how God rewards. And it's not that if we bless those who curse us, that we will instantly be blessed ourselves. If we pray for someone who has abused us some way, it doesn't mean that we will be instantly blessed or instantly cared for. We aren't promised good in return for our good acts in most of this passage. We aren't promised our enemies will repay our loans, but we're still told, lend to those from who need it. Not just those who can repay you. Anybody can do that. That's simple. That's not grace. That's just business. And all of these things here are difficult, they're challenging, they're subject to all kinds of misinterpretation. It's a story I heard a long time ago. True or not, I'm not entirely sure, but it's one of those things that there was a missionary or a minister in one of those rough and ready mining towns, and somebody who was new to town wanted to see what he was made of, and so he just came in and slapped him. And the minister said, well, it says, someone slaps you, you should turn the other cheek. So he turned the other cheek, the guy slapped him again. And he said, but it doesn't say you have to do it more than that. And then he beat him up. That's not what's going on. That's a misinterpretation of this. Let's not just limit things to one or two actions and then it's all bets are off. Do whatever you like. Because what we see here, when we give to people who beg from us, if when people come and say, this law, unjust as it is, lets me take away your coat, we give them something else as well, while simultaneously doing to others as we would have them do to us. This gives us an insight into how we can act more like God. God is love. God loves us. God loves all the creation, even the parts we don't. God loves that person who drives you crazy. God loves the world that currently has given us icy roads and travel not recommended in many directions from Regina. God still loves all of this. When we take what Jesus is asking us here, we can look at what it is that we can do that we wouldn't think to do ordinarily or naturally. It's not within most people's human nature, most people's nature, to do good to people who hate them. It's really hard. It's hard to bless somebody who cursed you or pray for somebody who assaulted you or abused you in some way. But when we look at what Jesus is asking us here and match it up against what Jesus did, we see that these things are possible. We need to make sure that we don't lose sight of the mystery of the incarnation, that fully human part was at work, forgiving enemies, giving to those who asked, feeding the hungry, healing the sick. Yes, the divine part was still there, but it didn't override the human part. And we don't really understand that, and that's okay, because it's a mysterious thing. It's something that's beyond us, because we are always only human. We're only human. There's nothing else added. But Jesus gave us an example of doing this. Jesus gave an example of doing to others as anyone would have wanted them to do to Jesus, rather than what they did. And Jesus reminds us in these words, these are hard words in some ways. When Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Jesus, maybe another way to think of this is, if you only love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Loving your family, loving your loved ones is a good thing to do. Jesus isn't speaking against that. But Jesus is saying, when you try to be like me, it will probably take you out of yourself. Jesus loved his family. Jesus loved his friends. But he also loved people who didn't love him. People who hated him. People who in the end put him to death. It's unlikely that we will be ever pushed to that extremity. But Jesus is saying you need to move past the easy, past the, not the normal, but the typical, past what everybody does, if we want to be like him. And we do. When we take what Jesus is asking here and trade our very understandable, really? For an, okay, I'll try that. I will do that to the best of my abilities. I will try to put myself in other people's positions, so I will be more likely to do what they would want me to do for them and with them. That I won't just love people who are nice to me. I won't just pray for those people I know. I'll pray for people I don't know. I'll pray for people I don't like, who do things I don't like. The Apostle Paul, in another place, tells us that we should pray for our leaders. He doesn't say pray for our leaders when they're good. He says pray for our leaders. Here we're told to pray for our enemies. Pray for those who abuse us. Pray for those who abuse our systems, who do things that we don't agree with. When we do that, that's when we become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. We become more and more like Jesus, the one that we want to be like. It's not easy. But as I've told my children more times than they want to hear, few things of real value are easy. And this is another one. But it is possible. We can do this, because as we do this, we are doing the work of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit within us that enables us to go beyond what we might naturally do or typically do. And when we do that, we're moving closer and closer to being conformed to the image of Christ and to being like the God we serve. Amen.